C1PH. Number 3A.
I'll return to the page 2 of the epitomes I have given to you. And I wonder if we can put some discipline into our work from now on, in so far that because I said that the text really doesn't offer much difficulties, I wonder if we just could go through my epitomes and not so much fiddling in the pages of Science and Health. Because when you have given once a talk like I have been doing, then you will notice that if the audience is constantly turning pages and everyone is turning pages, you see, somehow you have a feeling you can't get on with your talk. And by the way, what's the use of seeing what I read? Anyway, I won't read very much out of the text. But what I will do is to read with you what is on these summaries, and then tell in my words what Mrs. Eddy has said in the text, shortened naturally, abbreviated, but so that you can follow really what the textbook is saying. D'accord? Concord? All right. Now, I have taken as the subject of the chapter, of the whole chapter, an understanding of God bestows absolute control over the universe. Now, over the universe. We are on the top of the page. All right. So the whole chapter, you see, gives us a sense that the understanding is the practice, that the understanding is dominion, that through understanding we regain the lost dominion, which she was talking about in the introductory paragraph, that man has lost God's given dominion. We regain man's dominion over the universe through an understanding of God. So understanding God is at the same time the practice, namely that God, mind, is controlling the whole universe. The chapter has two parts, as far as I see it, and the first part is showing as a subject that an understanding of God bestows dominion over the body. See, it's restricted, as I see it, to physiology in the way that it shows the control of mind over body. The second part, which we take tomorrow, will then show that an understanding of God is the true embodiment of man. See, it's much higher, it's much more absolute. It is as if she would present here the fact that truth is omnipotent in the realm of belief, as well, the first part, as well as in the realm of truth, the second part. That, therefore, truth can be practiced not only for solving erroneous situations to control the body, but that truth can also be practiced in health, that is, as embodiment of man. Really, the second is the more important one. It's usually the first one that attracts people to Christian Science, but it is really the second one that is the more important one. namely that we find the solution for physiology in ontology, which therefore is true embodiment. So in both parts we have a sense of body. In the first part, how to control the physical body, and in the second part it is how it really demonstrates the true embodiment of man, the true form of man. So we start with the first part and take the subject on mind. Actually, all these subjects must in one way or the other substantiate the subject of the first part, namely that it gives dominion over the body. So these seven subjects which are now presented are all showing the way, the method, how we can in a practical way really get God's given dominion over the body. What is the first step, consciously, that we have to take? Well, the first is always mind, because mind is first, and mind here says, when I say here says, it's always what I said. I have quite a good conscience, really, because you will see afterwards that the wordings I give here are really terms taken out of the text of Science and Health. So it isn't made up by me, but it is just trying to epitomize the main point. So mind, you see, now we begin to see the method of practice. See, the method of practice, here mind says, by turning from the belief in physiology and gaining an understanding of mind, we achieve dominion over the body. So the first step is always mind, which says, leave behind you the false concept of whatever you have about any problem and turn to the infinite mind. That's always the first step. So whatever the problem is which we face, it is saying take no thought of this problem, turn away from the problem, look into the immensity of mind. Capital M. So that's practice. This has nothing to do with how we can make mind work over the body. Practice is to practice really what we have learned, namely that mind is the only mind. Therefore, turn away from the other concepts and turn to the one mind. So this would be the first step, and the subtones which I give here are only showing how this main tone is being realized fully. I know there are many students who just see red when one is speaking of subtones. It's a pity, because in talking to each other about any subject, we usually talk a lot about talk a lot in subtones. You just ask somebody, did you have a good travel over from Zurich to London? And the subtone starts. How was the flight? Was the weather good? And so on. Did you get a good dinner on the airplane? Was it the rough crossing? How was the landing? Were you in time? These are all subtones. So, subtones are nothing unusual. They are only not used to see them in their beauty, namely in the spiritual way. So, the subtones here would only show how we can realize properly this method of turning away from physiology and turning to the one mind. The first subtone as mind, I have written physiology subjugates intelligence or mind to non-intelligent matter, thereby placing mind at the mercy of matter. See, this is the first point starting, namely, it is more or less asking, why should I turn away from physiology? I have to know why I should turn away from physiology. So the subtones are giving us an answer why we should turn away from physiology, and then give an answer why to turn to the infinite mind. This first subtone, you can see, is to explain that physiology really is measuring everything which has to do with intelligence in a material way. It measures the intellectual capacity of men by the size of the brain, it measures our strength by the size of muscles, and so on. In indicating in this way, really, that intelligence is in matter, that qualities are in quantities, namely in matter, and so make mind and intelligence subjugated to matter. Therefore, that is the first reason why to turn away from physiology, because we give up the immensity of mind and let mind and intelligence be subject to matter. That's why we have to give it up. That's the first reason. And he goes on to spirit. Now I've written obedience to physical laws of health instead of to spiritual truth has multiplied disease. You can see now the subtone of spirit, namely that subjugating or being obedient to physical laws instead of to spiritual laws, that obedience to physical laws doesn't do any good. It increases disease, it doesn't diminish disease. Physiology, therefore, which is built on physics, on matter, on physical law, can do nothing but increase disharmony. So that's why we have to turn away. The third point, soul. The human mind, not matter, produces pain. When ignorant of this, we lose the conscious control over the body, its feelings and actions. You can see the tone of soul as that which produces pain, the counterfeit naturally, pain as the counterfeit of soul, and of loss of control. You know that loss is a counterfeit of the ideas of soul. So by going to physiology, we lose the control of the body. Instead of gaining control over the body, we lose it. And all we do is that we get pain, because it is explained that it is mortal mind that produces pain, and not the body that produces pain. Physiology says the body produces pain, matter produces pain, and therefore we have to turn away from physiology. Then we turn away from the belief in pain. It is here that she says, as a man thinketh, so is he, you see, indicating that thinking mind is defining the identity of man, so is he, mind and soul. But really, as we have said before, we have to be careful about that. This is only true metaphysically. Divinely, man is always the identity of God, is always the identity of divine mind. So you feel now, you see, that we are here moving constantly in the realm of metaphysics, not yet in the realm of science. So the matter, what shall we do mentally? What shall we do with our thinking? First it is seeing, minus mind seeing, that physiology is a belief that we subjugate intelligence and mind to matter. Then we see mind a spirit, that this subjugation is application to matter, and that is increasing disease. Then in minus soul, it shows that as we do that, we get more and more pain, because it's a false concept which we entertain. Whereas the answer to it would be that mind, divine mind, is all that feels and acts and impede actions. Ignorant of this, she says, we make the healing effort on the wrong side, and we lose conscious control over the body. This sense of loss comes in. That's why we should turn away from physiology. In principle, I have written, religious beliefs, as well as medical beliefs, are unable to save. She brings in here the religious belief and the medical belief, and says that the Mohammedans believe in a pilgrimage to Mecca for the salvation of their soul. But that is a religious mistake. And in the same way regarding physiology, it is a mistake, a medical mistake, to believe in the prescriptions of the doctors in order to save man's life, or to believe in the power of drug to save man's life. So that human theories regarding physiology is really a mistake. It's a medical mistake. And they are unable to save. Now these four subtones give us an answer why we should not lean on physiology, on the theory or on the science of physiology. But that we should turn away because there is no hope in it. They can't save, they can't give us a conscious control over the body. Therefore, turn away from that and now look into mind. Therefore, in life, we have, instead of ignoring God, we should learn that He can do all things for us. See, we feel here the tone of the fifth statement of the commandments, which says that we should not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, that to trust God is nothing in vain, that it is really a living power and a living reliance. And so instead of ignoring God, we should trust God, and learn that He can do all things for us. She says that instead of ignoring God as of little use in sickness is a mistake, and that we should not thrust Him aside in the time of trouble, but we should learn that He can do all things for us in sickness and in health, in both. That gives again a clue for the chapter, that it wants to show that really an understanding of God gives men dominion in the realm of belief, physiology, and in the realm of health, in the realm of man's embodiment of truth, in both. And perhaps we just make a mental note and say, well, that's really what is necessary. That we not only always see how can Christian Science be a help to us in times of trouble, but much more. How can we see that the divine principle, the Christian Science, is constantly unfolding and unfolding and unfolding our true manhood, our health. The health we have unfolding and unfolding. Health is wholeness, is true form. How can we be more and more men? Then we come to truth. I have written here, when adherence to physiology fails to recover health, faith is turned to the divine mind, which asserts its mastery over sin, sickness, and death. So, here in truth we find that turning point. First in life we must see that God is a help. Then usually in times of trouble, where medicine or drugs cannot help us, then usually the human mind is ready to turn to another side and to seek relief in turning to the divine mind. When mind, she says here, at last asserts its mastery over sin, sickness and death, then man is found harmonious and immortal. See, that's the healing method. When mind at last asserts its mastery over, it's mind that asserts its mastery, then man is found harmonious and immortal. It's always hinting here and there in the text that when we have done the metaphysical steps aright, the metaphysical steps which turn away mentally from the wrong and turn metaphysically to the right, that then thought is open for mind or science to take over. That mind then asserts its mastery over the situation. And that what we gain is the harmony of being in sickness and in health. Then finally, in love, I've written, in proportion as we rise above blind faith to an apprehension of divine science, we attain the harmony of our existence. I have stressed we and our, and in proportion, you can at once detect that it is still on the plane of metaphysics. You see, it is here that she says, if we should implore God on the basis of blind belief, or if we should really understand the divine principle, then saying, well, you must understand it, rise above blind faith, living above corporeal sense. Can you hear the metaphysics? Metaphysics is always trying to rise above the physical. In mentally. Then, she says, we can apprehend life in divine science. You can now see how in the text, woven into the text, we always have all the various levels, but we also have to see what is the main tone running through it. And the main tone here is typically that metaphysical tone. She says, our proportionate admission, our, not God's, our proportionate admission of the claims of good or of evil determine the harmony of our existence. See, that's not science, that's metaphysics, because the harmony of our existence is determined by principle, by God, not by our admission of good and evil. But we experience it humanly. Then, when in proportion that we admit good, we experience good. And that it determines the harmony of our existence, our health, our longevity, and our Christianity. See, it's a sense which is shown here, that as a man thinketh, so is he in his heart, from a metaphysical standpoint. If he thinks in his heart about the divine mind, and on mind, and God, and on good, he experiences humanly something which is God-like and good. But science naturally would say something very different, but that will come later. So this is a very practical illustration here, how everything really starts with metaphysics, with divine metaphysics. That metaphysics has its proper place within the whole system of being. That though we have seen that science is a much higher level than metaphysics, we should not neglect the level of metaphysics. But that metaphysics is a help, is a ladder let down from heaven, and it's a great help to reach that consciousness which is purely scientific. So let's see again. I just summarize in my own words quickly what this first subject wants to tell us. It shows to us that we should turn away from physiology, and that we should turn to the one divine mind. The subtones first tell us why should we turn away from physiology. We should turn away from physiology because first at mind it says, well, physiology is nothing else but putting intelligence at the mercy of matter, putting mind at the mercy of matter. And that, as spirit, shows that then the physical law is ruling, and the physical law is always increasing disorder, because we know that matter is fundamentally disorder. So that's why we should turn away from that. Also, we should turn away from it because as soul, it says that we lose the conscious control over the body. If we subjugate mind under matter, well, we certainly lose the control, because then mind, which is the governing factor in physiology, is then at the mercy of matter. So we lose conscious control. And as principle, it shows that no theory, no man-made theory can save us. That the science of physiology is just a human mistake, nothing more than that. So if all that sense of physiology doesn't lead anywhere, what then to do? Then she says in life, well, then you must see that you realize that God is not to be thrust away, that he can be of help, that he can be a living stone for you, that he can resuscitate your state of being. And as truth, it shows that in the measure you turn to God, to mind, you begin to get conscious control over the body, because now you have lifted mind out of matter into the one mind, and that gives you back the conscious control over the body. And lastly, in the subtone of love, he says that in the proportion as we apprehend this fact, that in that proportion we attain harmony. It's what we would always say, that as a man thinks in his heart, if he thinks according to divine mind, then naturally he reaps harmony. Yes, that's the first subject. Very easy. Something which we know fundamentally, but it's nice to see it in its position within the whole chapter. All right, then we go to the second, the spirit. Here, the main tone I have summarized: through reliance on spirit alone, we can regain paradise. We can regain man's control. that which has been lost. We can regain paradise. Mind's control over the universe, including man. Really, the first part of the sentence is quite enough. That through reliance on spirit, we can regain paradise. We can regain the control. Again, you can see that all what is asked is a metaphysical quality, namely to rely on spirit. To rely through reliance on spirit alone. Alone. See, spirit is that which says, I accept no other reality beside me. I want to be the only. That's spirit. So, and reliance is that spiritual quality which is asked of spirit. So here you have a deep tone of spirit which says, all right, if you rely wholeheartedly on spirit, that gives you back the dominion over the universe. Again, the practice. See, this is practice. Well, it's again not showing how spirit rules over matter, or how to apply spirit over matter. The practice is how to trust spirit and let spirit rule over matter. Spirit does it then by itself. So, really, it is as if we only have to synchronize, so to say, with the synonymous terms. And then if we synchronize, it's like putting in the gears, you see. If once the gears are in, then the motor takes us off with the whole car. We don't have to do anything more. But if we don't put in the gears, you say the gears, yes? Mm-hmm. The gears, you see, then the motor is of no use, then nothing happens. So the metaphysical steps are really to pull in the gears. But science is the whole motor working by itself, driving by itself, going along by itself, having the power in itself. We don't have to push the car then, or make it go. Just put in, just to synchronize with the signs of being. That's what metaphysics does. Here we have the second gear. Put in second gear. Namely, trusting spirit. What means trusting spirit? Trusting that spirit will deal with any material concept. Now, what means trusting spirit? The subtones just are again an elaboration of this main subject, how to have complete reliance on spirit. The subtone of mind, I summarized and said, we cannot serve two masters. This is really not the subtone of mind, but it starts like that. We cannot serve two masters, really the main tone of spirit. That spirit says, I'm the only one. I acknowledge no other besides me. But then comes, only by availing ourselves of the power of spirit, can we gain the divine source of all health and perfection. See, we put in the gear and say, all right, if I avail myself of the power of spirit, then I have found the source, mind, the source of all health and perfection. It doesn't say your practice then is to use the divine source in order to heal the case. It says, no, all what you have to do is to practice that you really accept that spirit is the only. The theory has said spirit is the only. The practice of it is that, all right, and trust it. Trust that spirit is the only. Then spirit will do it by itself. It will do it by itself in spite of matter, in spite of everything. But trust it. So, this trusting, Mrs. Eddy here explains in this paragraph and says, therefore, we should have but one God, to avail yourself of the power of Spirit and love God supremely. You see, you have the spiritual worship. These are the qualities of trusting, to love God supremely, to have one God, to avail ourselves only of one power, one source, that of Spirit. Then the second subtone, I've written radical reliance on Spirit alone. You can see again reliance on Spirit alone. On God and His idea is the only way by which the body can be governed scientifically. So here again we have radical reliance as Spirit and reliance on Spirit alone, the onlyness of Spirit, but Spirit to Spirit. This gives back the control. It says here, only through radical reliance on truth can scientific healing power be realized. It gives an answer to that question which each one has. How can I have scientific healing power? How can I have it? Here she answers and says, radical reliance on truth alone. This alone, alone, alone. And trust it. This gives it. Then we get it. We don't have to make it work in some way. He says that we should not take a halting and halfway position and to accept equally Spirit and matter, truth and error. See, no halfway position. Spirit is the only. There is but one way. See again the exclusiveness of Spirit. But one way. And she says, and that's God and His ideas. I'm amazed at the simplicity of this chapter always by asking, well, how can I make this thing work, you know, how they say? How can I make Christian Science work? Well, you can't. You can't make it work. She says there is only one way, and that's God and His idea. So God is His own God, and He has His own idea. He works by Himself. So all we have to do is to shift in the gear and say, all right, then I accept that as the only way. And I trust it. I trust completely that nothing is going on but God and His idea. I don't have to apply God to the idea, nor to apply God to the problem. I don't have to do that. I have to practice that I gear in, that I synchronize with what I have understood as a theory. Namely, that there is nothing going on but God and His idea. When we come to soul, by shifting our reliance from material beliefs to divine mind, we give preponderance to mind and health. See, soul always comes in as the true balance, and says, all right, then if we have seen up to now that we have to rely Spirit alone, all right, then shift your weight from reliance on matter or on drugs or on human people. Perhaps there are human people too, yes. Shift your reliance away, you see, from people, from drugs, from exercise, from hygiene, from dietetics, and so on. Shift it away to Spirit. That's your practice. Then we find the true balance of soul. And then we put all our weight into the divine mind, and mind has preponderance. And mind has preponderance. It's a clear way of presenting the whole thing, you see? Can you see how she builds up these subtones very naturally and easily? She says, as the main tone of Spirit, well, the second step is to trust Spirit entirely. How? All right. With mind, she says, trust the origin and power of Spirit. All right, if you do that, then Spirit as Spirit says, and this you must trust alone. All right, in order to trust that alone, soul says, then you have to shift every trust away from matter into spirit. They are just little steps and steps, but they are so practical in a concrete case, because we can measure always our thoughts and our inward longings and trustings according to this standard. And in principle, she says, instead of acknowledging man-made systems as authority, we should obey the laws of mind as the only authority, in spite of matter. Now she brings in the tone of principle as authority, you see. Principle is the authority, and says, well, what should be the authority which you trust? Should you trust the divine authority, or should you trust the man-made authority? Medicine is a man-made authority. It's a man-made system. So is all the pharmacy and so on. They are all men thought out by men. Whereas we should trust, as Jesus did, the authority of God, and prove the other one false. So here, in blunt words, what she says is, well, don't always trust every theory and every hypothesis and every dogma and so on which people have put up. Trust in God alone. That's your authority. Then they come to life. Here I have written, when belief changes from a material to a spiritual basis. See, when that shifting has gone on, when that trust has been taken away from a material to a spiritual basis, then we can trust that spiritual even more, because we then know the law of life, which says that when belief changes from a material to a spiritual basis, we can also scientifically foresee a change from sickness to health, and vice versa. See, here she shows that we don't have to trust blindly spirit and say, all right, I trust spirit now because Mrs. Eddy has said so, or because somebody has said so, that we should only trust spirit. But we can trust it knowingly and consciously, because we know that spirit is life, and life has always a resuscitating effect. So if I trust spirit, I know that I trust something which will help, something which will ameliorate, something which will improve the situation. I don't trust them blindly, because I know spirit is the law of life, truth, and love. Therefore, I know when I trust spirit that I can foresee, though I don't see it yet with my eyes, I can foresee and foreknow that this is going to change the situation. Did I make that clear, you see? Because usually people only say, well, I only trust that which I can see. And in the spiritual, we can trust spirit because we know that spirit is anyway life, truth, and love. And life says, I ameliorate, I improve the situation, I bring you forward in any case, because life is that driving power that brings us further and further and further.